Well, to study some of the waste that we see in our federal government, some of these programs that continue to get funded and the amount of money we spend on pickle research or whatever is just unbelievable. Jim, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
Man, I was kidding earlier when we were talking about our guests this morning, and I said, you know, we'll have Jim on starting at about 7:15 talking about government waste and should have that interview wrapped up by Monday morning at 6:40.
Well, that's about how long it would take, and I don't think I've got that much coffee, and y'all don't have that much patience.
No, I would pull what's left of my hair out if I had to hear everything our federal government does. But what are some of the big things and some of the big areas that you identified as completely and totally wasteful?
Well, I mean, that's how much time do you have? There are so many programs which I think we should just simply get rid of completely. There's if you look at some of the government audit reports, it shows a lot of the federal interventions are simply counterproductive, that they've messed up a lot of the country. I mean, that's certainly the case with a lot of the housing programs. It's the case with quite a few of the agriculture programs. A lot of the business subsidies have just, you know, basically encouraged people to go bankrupt by giving money, giving applicants capital that they can't handle. There's so much money, shoveled out to local politicians. Most of that's a scandal. So, and that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Well, so as you did your research, I mean, what led you down this path to kind of look into some of these wasteful government programs?
Well, this is something which I've been writing about off and on for decades, and I've written a few books on this as well. And it's interesting. One of the editors at the American Media Institute, where I've done some contracting with, suggested that I take a look at this Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. This is a program that Congress created back in 1992. There was a congressman who was getting ready to retire, and basically, as a favor to him, the other members of Congress created this program. He was this guy was Italian American. So they had it pegged to the anniversary of Christopher Columbus's discovery of the New World. And it was this foundation which was enacted by Congress, and it has an all-encompassing mandate. It's to encourage and support research, study, and labor designed to produce new discoveries in all fields of endeavor for the benefit of mankind. Now, if that's not a load of hokum, I mean, I don't know what would be, because it basically means that they can do whatever they want. And at the same time, there's hundreds of other federal programs financing research, very specific. But it worked out well for Congress to create one more, to ladle on one more layer here, so that they could, make some other politicians happy and create some jobs for the boys.
And how much are we spending on that every year?
Right now, well, the this is a program that was financed originally by the sale of coins from the 1992 Christopher Columbus coins that mark his arrival in the New World. And it was supposed to be financed by those coins in perpetuity, but those coins didn't sell very well. So around 2008, the money that had been raised from the coins started to be running out. And so what Congress did was start to make annual appropriations for this. But it was such such an obvious waste that even President Obama objected to it, as did a lot of people like Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. And finally, there was so much controversy that for the moment, Congress has stopped financing this. However, that may only be a moment, because Congress might add a single line to one of these 1,000-page appropriation bill that nobody in Capitol Hill reads, and all of a sudden this foundation is back in business.
Now, this seems to have more than nine lives. We were talking cats earlier, but when you look at the very important studies, such as playground equipment will get hot in the summer, it does seem pretty wasteful. And during the campaign trail this year, there's a lot of discussion about government waste and things like that. You would think that would ensure that they wouldn't continue funding it.
Well, if you were an optimist, yeah. I mean, but folks have talked about government waste for decades, and it really hasn't stopped. I mean, if you look at the history of this, going back to the 1930s, it's something that a lot of Republicans and conservatives were attacking Franklin Roosevelt for, because he was just spending money like crazy, And it was his Roosevelt's brain trust that basically thought that government spending was a magic wand that would make us all prosperous. It didn't. And we saw the same thing with Obama's stimulus bill. They were just spending money like crazy, and that has failed to make the country prosperous. It's unfortunate that most congressmen don't pay attention to most of what the government does. And that's, you know, what we have is attention deficit democracy. We have it on Capitol Hill as well as in the voting booths around the country.
Would you call this a rubber stamp syndrome?
You could call that. I mean, most congressmen don't bother reading most of the bills that they vote for. And even if they do read them, they often don't understand them. So, I mean, they're just busy, you know, fundraising and getting reelected and listening to applause from their donors and from their constituents.
That very concept of not reading a bill before you pass it seems absurd and insane to me, and yet it's a common practice.
It's a common practice, and this is symbolic of how the politicians have far too much power over the rest of us. Because, it basically means that they are off the leash and they are so arrogant that they think that they are entitled to power over us even if they don't know what they're doing. It's like that they've got some magic touch, like King Midas, and whatever they do is going to work out well because they're wonderful human beings. Most of them aren't. There's a few good ones, but Congress has been messing up the economy and people's lives for many years.
Here's what's wrong, in my opinion. This is my opinion, but here's what's wrong with America right now. Two things. Number one, and anybody that's listened to me on the air for the last several years have heard me say this a million times, and I'll say it a million and one, term limits. Number two, though, and I think that is becoming as clear to me as term limits is the fact that we've got congressmen and women who are voting on bills that, number one, they don't read, but number two, there are things inserted into that. Like you said, they might slip a line into some bill of 1,000 pages that restores funding for this, and people pass it not even knowing that that's in there. To me, that's wrong. I think one item, one vote. So term limits, one item, one vote.
Yeah, I mean, those are both very good ideas. I'm in favor of both those. It's interesting how that thing about popping stuff in the bill works. There was the 2008 farm bill going back 7 years. It was a big hefty son of a gun that bankrolled farm subsidies for the following 5 or 6 years. What happened was that someone popped in a single line or single paragraph in there that let the IRS go after people who had apparently benefited from their parents or other relatives who got extra Social Security benefits 20, 30, 40 years before. So you had the IRS start to seize people's tax refunds based on a simple assertion that their mother or father or their, who had often died 15, 20, 30 years before had gotten excess Social Security benefits long ago. It's a complete travesty of due process. This is something that the government would never let a private debt collector do. But it was in this big hefty bill. Nobody paid attention, and this nonsense is still going on. It's a great example how the government is completely out of control, and most members of Congress don't give a rat's patootie.
Jim Bovard joins us on the program this morning. Jim, we got a minute and a half left. Tell us where listeners can get more information about you and purchase some of the books you've written.
Well, thanks. Jim Bovard, last name is Bovard. I've got a website, jimbovard.com. I'm currently on the board of contributors of USA Today. I write occasionally for Barron's and Wall Street Journal and some other places. Lots of people hate my work, and maybe that's not a bad thing.
You're exactly right. I would agree with that assertion for sure. Jim, it's been great to have you on the show this morning, man. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks.
Okay.